Have you made an honest review? Jump onto fifthwrist.com and read real takes by real owners about their watches. And of course, get involved and write about what's on your wrist. Fifthwrist.com is your independent space to talk watches.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Defining Time Show on Fifth Wrist Radio. It is good to be here. I'm joined by some very lovely characters from the other side of the world to me. They're both from Germany. So we'll get straight into the show. This one is for the nerds. And this is a niche in a niche, as Klaus put it before, which I really like. So sit back, relax, enjoy this astronomical journey into horology and listen to three guys absolutely nerd out about their watches. And we'll also cover off some different watches, but we'll talk about the watches in a minute. I'll introduce Klaus first. Klaus, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's a long time since we've been on a podcast together, and it really feels very good.
It is. No, it's nice to be back. I haven't done one for a while because I've just been busy with work and baby, and it's just been a crazy time. But as you know, I received one of the most anticipated watch I've ever had to wait for in very early January, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. And also joining us is Paul from at My Horological Journey on Instagram. So look up Paul. Paul, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thanks a lot, Anthony.
Great. And this is your second time back on Fifth Wrist, I understand.
That's correct, yes.
Very good.
Podcast 1 year ago, and happy to be here again.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you on. And Paul and I and Klaus, we chat a lot about Oxen Jr. and all sorts of other things. So to be here together and to have this conversation is something I've been looking forward to for a very long time. So we will follow a standard structure as I normally do. We'll do some wrist checks and drink checks. And then I've got some rapid questions for Paul because I don't think he has had them from me before. And then we go into the topics of what we're going to chat about. Later on, we'll do an Instagram recommendation. So gentlemen, hopefully you've come prepared with your Instagram recommendation. If not, please fumble and try and get one. Then we'll wrap up. So why don't we start with you, Klaus? What is on your wrist or wrists, and what are you drinking?
Drinking is fairly boring because it's 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning and I've got a lot to do after our podcast. So I'm drinking coffee and some very low sugar lemonade. No artificial sweeteners, just low amounts of sugar and that's it.
Beautiful. And
on my wrist, I have my cheapest watch regarding space. It's got a sun in the name. It's got moon in the name, so it fits the theme. Uh-huh. It's my Speedmaster Moon's watch in the sun version, the yellow sun version. So maybe kind of the opposite of the spectrum compared to the day night from Oxen Junior. I have bought it actually because I wanted to sell it on Instagram for charity. But I kept it because it's actually not that bad.
Yeah,
I kind of like it, so I keep it.
So the only similarity I can really see with that watch and the Oxen Junior day night is maybe the weight and the lightness.
I think
that one will be a little bit lighter, I assume.
It's very, it's got a Velcro strap like one of my Oxen Junior straps as well. So lots of similarities, but you can hardly read the time because it's white hands on a yellow dial and it's a quartz watch and it's actually worth its price, but not more. I don't understand the hype, although I had to get one. But it's better than some people say.
Yeah, my wife wanted one and I just said, no, sorry, I'm not going to spend money on that. I'm sure they're great, but I'm not a Speedy fan. So if I was a Speedy fan, I'm sure it would be interesting.
Mm. I'm not a Speedy fan either. I have one for 250 euro. So that's okay.
So tell me, do they still classify as Speedy Tuesday?
Yeah, in Instagram a lot. Yeah.
Oh, I suppose that's a good thing, opening up the knowledge and people enjoying Speedmasters without having to pay thousands of dollars for them. So I guess that's a good thing. And just one watch on your wrist today?
Just one watch on my wrist. Oh. I have three Oxygen Juniors on my table.
So I can see Klaus and Paul and they can see me, but we're not going to record the audio, the video. We'll just do the audio. But anyway. Cool, great. Thank you, Klaus. What about you, Paul? What's on your wrist and what are you drinking?
On my wrist is my newest watch acquisition. It is a Icapod C-Pod in bronze case, green dial, and finally the GMT function I was missing all the time since Icapod was resurrected 5 years ago.
Wow, that's cool.
That's a nice
very
one.
Nice.
And my first dive watch.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I still don't have a dive watch yet, but I'm sure I'll get one day. Never mind. And are you drinking anything of any significance or water and
yes,
coffee?
Significantly hot tea is in my pot.
Very
good. And if you'd like to know which watches are around me, well, it's the theme of this show, so my day and night is on the table.
Beautiful. Very good. All right. For me, it is 8:45 p.m. on a Saturday night here, so I'm going to crack open a beautiful local beer called Mismatch Session Ale. It's from a brewery not too far from me, and they make a really, really nice beer. I don't drink much, so this is the first drink I've had in probably months. But anyway, on my right wrist, I'm wearing my Oxygen Junior Meze or Date. Which I've had for quite a number of years now. Changed the dial once and considering changing it again. So I clearly get bored quickly. And on my other wrist is my absolute favorite, my Oxygen Junior Day Night, which I received in very early January, as I said. So, yeah. All right, let's get into it so we can talk about these watches. But, Paul, are you ready for some rapid questions?
I hope so.
You have no choice, so let's get ready to go.
Okay.
Try and answer as quick as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Okay, number one, Rolex or Omega?
Rolex.
Vintage or modern?
Modern.
Strap or bracelet?
Depends. Depends on the season.
Come on, pick one. Which one is your favorite?
Right now, strap.
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 Okay. Above 40 mil or below 40 mil?
Below, please.
Below. And flip or keep?
Keep.
Keep. Okay, very good, very good. So you are a Rolex fan? Deep down, you're another fanboy like me?
I have one Rolex.
Yeah,
and
cool.
It does help in the in a certain social environment, but and it's a perfect daily watch. My Oyster Perpetual 39 with the black dial. I saw it and I knew, okay, this is the watch I want if I'd ever buy a Rolex, and well, it's mine.
That's
it
the one you
be
got.
Mine.
Yeah, and they are beautiful watches. Klaus, you've got a Oyster Perpetual as well, haven't you?
Right, the Red Grape.
Yeah, that's
right. And I'm not a Rolex fan, I admire them for the quality, for the list price.
Yeah.
The fact how they're doing their business, I really think that's great.
Yeah, I agree.
And the watches are great too. I don't like the hype around it, but like most of us.
But you can say the same thing with so many things now. Like there's hype around shoes, there's hype around cars, there's hype around anything that has supply and demand issues, and anything where people want things they can't have, there's always going to be hype. But it's interesting watching the market the last couple of months, and I hope that for some people the prices come down to where watches that weren't attainable last year or the year before start to become, you know, whatever it is, 25%, 30%, some cases 50% cheaper than what they were 6 months ago. So hopefully that opens the door for more people to experience them, but we'll see. So I might just very briefly kick us off, and I really want to give each person the opportunity to sort of talk about these watches, because these watches are not what you would see every day. They are very unique. They do quite a lot with quite simple mathematical equations using cogs and fans and all sorts of stuff that we'll talk a little bit about the parts a little bit later. But basically today we wanted to talk about sunrise and sunset watches. And in particular, we're going to go deep into the Oxen Junior Day Night, because for the three of us, it's one of our favorite watches. We all have one. We probably all lust after them. I don't know how much, Paul, you can share of your story with yours, but I hope we can talk about it a little bit if you can. So this is about the Oxen Junior Day Night. And I really hope that for people listening, that you sort of sit back, take in what we're about to say, because there's a lot to this watch that's under and on top of the dial that a lot of people just don't know. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So Klaus, maybe I'll start with you. What was your journey into this watch, and when did it all come about? How did it all happen? What do you love about it, etc.?
It all started with me when I picked up my moon phase watch at Lucerne at that time. And there were a couple of other watches on the table when I arrived. And one of them was the Day Night, which was, I can't remember exactly, but fairly new at the time. Mm-hmm. I saw it, Beat explained what it did, and I was completely hooked from that moment on. When I left with my new watch, which I saved money for years, my moon phase watch, I said to Beat, if you were about gifting me one of your watches now, I would choose the cheaper Day Night rather than the perpetual calendar, because that's the best thing I've ever seen. And from that day on, I was on the configurator and planning and deciding. And you all know the story backwards and forwards. And eventually I came to a decision. And I'm actually very happy still with my design decision, which is a little bit different from most other Day Night watches. There's only one thing which you can talk about later, which I may change when the watch eventually goes to service. I may change the dial slightly.
Ooh, I like that. Cool.
But only if it goes to service. I will not spend the money just to do that because it's nice. But if it goes to service in a couple of years' time for standard watch reasons, but I will take that opportunity and may ask for a slight modification of the dial.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, great. And how long roughly did it take you to get your design right and the back and forth? Because they would have had to do some photoshopping for yours because it's different to the configurator.
That actually, I can't remember exactly, but compared to the time I needed to get the money, the design was a couple of months. It was not that much. It started very early from when I took my Moonswage watch. But that was just playing around. That was not seriously configuring.
Yeah.
When I decided to buy it, when I had the budget ready, I can't remember exactly, but a couple of months, three, four months, not longer.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Klaus. And Paul, tell us a little bit about your journey with the Day Night.
Yeah, it was quite a long journey.
A little, much as you want.
Okay, I've been obsessed with Oxen Junior after I bought my first annual calendar, and now it's three of them, and I got so much interested in the development and the changes Oexlin made and Paul Gerber made before that I had to buy the whole history from the MIH, from the first MIH prototype. Yep. That brought the decision to build the MIH watch. over the usual MIH watch annual calendar, and finally the perpetual calendar from Augustin Jr. And last but not least, the lightest annual calendar, the carbon one, which was only produced in five times. And after that, the moon phase started to attract me, and the same thing happened. Now, the only watch I'm missing in this line is from Augustin Jr. is the Luna Sole, which was from the Idea case. And I don't know how many of those were produced, but if anybody knows someone who likes to sell it, give me a call. And the day and night was introduced in 2018, I think. Mm-hmm. And when I first saw it, I thought, okay, this is ingenious, super cool, everything. But there was something missing to me, or something. There was a vague feeling of emptiness. And I thought, okay, with the other constructions from Oechslin, he uses or he combines functions in just one part. But when looking at the parts in the day and night, many of the parts only serve one function. So I thought about how to develop something better or optimize it. And that brought me to the point, it was March 2019, that I commissioned the my Augustin Jr. watch, and it took like 3 years and two watchmakers to finally finish this watch in last year in February.
Amazing. Can you talk a little bit about the different stuff that you did to yours?
Yes, sure, of course. The first thing I thought about was this is about the moon and the sun, and I want to have this the functions be visual at night as well. So loom had to be added on the fans as well as on the base. Wow. And of course the hands. That was my first idea, and actually this was the thing that took longer than producing the custom parts, because there's just one company, obviously, in this world that can put such a thin layer of Super Luminova completely flat on the fans, and hasn't crazy. Been the cheapest experience as well.
Can I ask if you had to go back and start again, would you still have done this the same way, absolutely. Maybe with lessons? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. This the watch is perfect, except one detail. I put a rotating internal bezel in it to have multifunctions, and I thought it would be nice to have the day of the week displayed on the watch. So right now the only thing I'm using this multifunctional inner bezel is to display the tides when I'm at the sea with the moon. And that's the only thing. So I would change it. Maybe I would skip the day of the weeks and put like 24 indices to have a third time zone on my watch. That would be and of course the tides. That would be the only thing good. I would change.
Okay, fair other enough. Than that, I think the fully loomed fans and dial just looks amazing.
Thanks.
So I think before I talk a little bit about my journey with this, let's be clear about what this watch can do. Because when you look at it, it's quite simple. Yes, you can see a sun, you can see a moon, you can see some hands, and you can see a date aperture. But this watch will tell you what the solar noon is, the length of the day, the length of the night. It has a moon phase. It'll tell you the position of the sun and the moon in the sky relative to either facing south in the northern hemisphere or facing north in the southern hemisphere. And it has the time and the date as well. And so when you think about that from a watch, one of the things that really drew me into this watch was, and I'm going to talk about a couple of things that I wanted this watch for. And I can assure you that when I talk about what I wanted it for and then what it has become the reality of after getting it, it is truly amazing. So I wanted this watch because I noticed that when you look at the watch to check the time, nothing moves. It's all, because there's no seconds hand, there's no seconds indicator, there's nothing. It is just a two-handed watch. So ultimate simplicity. The sun doesn't move while you look at it. The moon doesn't move while you look at it. But then when you check the time again an hour later or an hour and a half later or 10 minutes later, everything has moved except for the date, obviously, because that only moves once every 24 hours. But the sun's in a new position. The moon is in a new position, which to me was just a way that I thought to myself, okay, how can I use that? Why don't you use it as a way of trying to slow down time when you want to be in moments longer and when you want to be really present? And, you know, I've just had a child 15 months ago. And for me, one of the most important things to me is spending quality time with her and not being on my phone and not watching television and just, you know, playing tea parties and whatever it is that she wants to do at the time. So that was one of the things. And I can assure you that it has really helped me to do that. The other thing was I get up quite early to walk my dog and I just thought to myself, how cool is it going to be as the seasons change and the fans move and the days get shorter and longer? You can actually get up in the morning and, you know, this morning you beat the sun up, which is a good achievement. Tomorrow you didn't. When tomorrow I'm going to try harder to get up earlier because I want to beat the sun.
Right.
You know, so that was another part. It was about having that connection with daily use. Every day I get up and walk the dog. So every day I want to get up and put this watch on and use it.
Sorry to interrupt you, Anthony.
That's okay.
When you said it slows you down, have you seen that watch, that day-night watch without hands?
Yes. Yes, I have. Yeah,
which
very
is,
cool.
Which is, I wasn't brave enough. I was thinking about it, but I wasn't brave enough to do that.
It's interesting. For people that don't quite understand the watch or don't have the passion that the three of us have, that would seem like something completely stupid. But you don't, it's like even the Oxen Junior date. You know, once you learn 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, And that's how you read the date. You just go to the closest indice and then either plus or minus to get your 7th of the month or 15th of the month. This watch is very similar, that once you learn the rotation of the sun, and it's particularly when it's around solar noon, you know that it's around 1:20, 1:30 in the afternoon. So then it's not that hard to work out what the time is without the hands. But yeah, I've seen it. I wouldn't do it, but all credit to that person for sure. The other thing I wanted to do was try and have a connection with my daughter, another one just about slowing down time, but also about teaching her about time. And I wanted to use the watch to, in a non-conventional way, without the numbers, which is very true to Oxen Junior, but to be able to teach her about time, time left, time had, you know, how long until the sun sets, you know, what time is it now? Where do you think the sun is outside if you look at the watch, and can we go have a look at that? And so I know this is all like people are going to think and listen and go, this guy is, you know, he's lost the plot. But you know, when you really are
cool.
Enthusiastic about watches, this is the level of connection and detail you can have with your watch. And so looking and seeing that there's half an hour left before the sun hits the horizon on the fan, does that mean you could go for a quick walk around the block with the dog? Or does it mean you could go outside and play a catch or throw the ball or, you know, go read your daughter some books or something like that? So Yeah, and very lastly, I won't bore everyone. I am a big fan of the Old West, and I love the clothing. I love the era. I love the just everything about it. I love the movies, the series, everything about the Old West. I really like, because I think it's, you know, it would have been such a difficult time, those people journeying west and coming, immigrating from other places, and with the outlaws and the death and the theft and just crazy. But I thought to myself, if you were an outlaw traveling plains in America, walking trails, right, what would be the most useful complication that you could have? And it's two things. It's how much time do we have left in the day, or what time do we need to get up so we get first light? And second is, you can use this watch as a compass, because if you can find the position of the moon in the sky or the sun in the sky, and you'll never not be able to, it'll either be one or the other during the daytime, then if you can orient the watch towards that position, the direction you're facing, depending on where you are in the southern or northern hemisphere, is going to be either north or south. So you can use it for navigation as well. Which, so to me, they were all the reasons why I wanted to go down this road with this watch. And I can assure you that it has met all of my expectations, and all of those things that I wanted from it, I've got. And to me, that's just something truly special. I get bored of watches easily, and I'm very interested to see what I think of this in 12 months, 2 years. But anyway, so that is a little bit about what my journey was. It took me nearly 12 months to get my design in correct how I wanted it. And I thought about adding a second hand, but I thought that would defeat the purpose. And I had Oxen Jr. do some research, and they said it was possible. It would certainly add more time and a little cost, but I'm glad I didn't and just left it as it is.
Absolutely, yeah.
And currently it's running, I put it on a time graph for the other day, and it's running at -1 second per day, which is pretty impressive.
Absolutely, yeah.
So anyway, that's enough about me. I will hand over.
I never thought about that compass thing, which is obvious. It's just the using it the other way around.
Yeah.
But I never thought about it.
Yeah.
Because I live in the town, and I always know where south and north, etc. is.
Correct.
But I don't know where the moon is. I always look for the moon when it's visible on the day.
But if you're out bushwalking and you get disorientated, or you don't know, you don't have your bearings for whatever reason, you can literally go like this, find the spot, and 12 o'clock will be due north.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
For me, anyway. Cool. So very quickly.
For me, south, that doesn't matter.
Klaus, which way does your sun and moon go around the watch?
Clockwise.
Clockwise. Interesting. Yeah. So for me, in the southern hemisphere, and my location is Adelaide, Australia, so we're 38 degrees south from the equator. And so for me, mine goes anti-clockwise, and I have to face north to get the orientation of the sun and the moon. So just so interesting, and credit to Oxen Jr. and to Ludwig Oschlund for being able to, you know, reverse engineer it. And we saw that prototype on their Instagram page quite a few years ago. It's very, very cool.
How many parts had to be added to make it possible?
No, my understanding, do you?
No, at least when I was thinking, I thought at minimum one part must have been added.
I don't know, actually. I might try and find that out because, that would be interesting. And I mean, to take it from 13 parts additional to 14 parts, it's ridiculous. So let's chat a bit about the movement. So, Paul, do you want to go into some of the details of the UN 320 that's used as the base?
No. The reason is I don't really care about the base movements.
Uh-huh.
I'm only interested in the modules.
Okay. Well, to me, I think the base movement is important for this watch, because for me, this wasn't a cheap watch. excuse me, I had to sell some of my prized possession watches in order to get this one, because I'm very much one in, one out. I don't want to have a massive collection, and I just can't afford it at this point in my life. And so just a couple of things that I think are important to call out about this movement, because it's, you know, some of the other Oxen Juniors use ETAs, or they use Salidas and stuff like that, whereas this one uses the UN caliber 320. And so when we think about that watch, we've got 50 hours of power reserve, which is plenty for an automatic watch. It's got a silicon hairspring. It does have hacking seconds, but obviously we won't need that without the second showing. It uses an anchor escapement. It's anti-magnetic because of the silicon parts in it. It's got 39 joules. It's accurate to, you know, probably within cost, but mine's at -1 second per day, which is even better. So when you're, and it's got a free spun balance as well for greater shock protection and things like that. So this is not, that's not a complete high horology movement by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a very solid movement to use as the base that's going to be accurate, it's going to be reliable. And to have the addition of these 13 parts, and, you know, they would be sucking that power reserve, they would be changing the dynamics of that movement, and to still be so accurate has got to say something about the base movement that they're using. So it's impressive, I think. What are your thoughts, Klaus?
I'm similar to Paul. I'm not that interested in the base movement. But of course, the one important thing to note about that movement is, and that was the reason, one of the reasons why he chose, why Ludwig Axelin did choose that movement, mm-hmm. because it was very close to Ulysse Nardin, obviously. And the second reason is that you can set the date backwards and forwards.
Yes.
So if you set that watch from scratch because you haven't used it for a couple of months, you don't have to go forward. And if you accidentally are a little bit too much, you have to wait for a couple of days. You just put it forwards, backwards. Or if I, on watch meetings, I have to explain the watch to people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just move it a couple of days forwards and backwards and let the sun and the moon move, etc. That's no problem at all.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because it would be crazy. And I wonder if the caliber of the 118 that they use for the perpetual is, I mean, you would know, Paul, is that one able to be forward and backwards as well?
Yes.
Or is that one a bit delicate? It is. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is, it's crazy what this guy can do with his imagination, and his mathematical skills are just exceptional. So as we said, maybe Paul, you can tell us more about the parts that go on top of it, just to shine a bit of light. Last thing I'll say is my understanding is that the base caliber has 227 parts. So we're talking about a watch that has those 7 or 8 different functions for astronomical horology with 240 parts. And we'll talk later about some other watches, and we'll hear about their boasting of how many parts they've got to do the same thing or less. So anyway, Paul, what are your thoughts on the, or what can you tell us about the additional parts?
Yeah, the module itself consists of, as you said before, 13 parts, and it is driven by two forces. The first one is a date ring, and the other one comes from the hour. It's an hour wheel that comes from the hour stem, and so the movement of the horizontal fans is driven by the date wheel. While the rest of the functions is the position of the sun, or the movement of the sun and the moon, is driven by the hour stem.
Wow. And, okay.
That's it. And there are two transitional wheels between the sun cog wheel and the moon cog wheel, mm-hmm. and. And then there is this mechanism that makes the fans go up and down.
Up and down.
And this consists of, three parts or something. It's so great they have all this information on the internet.
No, that's okay.
That's when I mean, that's how I started to customize my Oxen Junior, because it's the fun is.
That's why you know most about these about
right
the
exactly parts. Exactly right right.
And that, so, there's actually one part. Sorry.
There's one part.
One part, Anthony, Paul, and I discussed recently, which is, it looks like a standard wheel. Mm-hmm. Like a standard cogwheel with one small pin on it, and that's the one which decides where you are, which has to be considered when you tell Oxen Junior where you live in the world.
Okay.
And I was always the impression that they have a certain discrete number, like 10 of these wheels, but it's actually the wheel and the pin, and they can place that pin on that wheel wherever they want, and they place it closest to fit to where you are.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we're 30 degrees south. So I thought, I wonder what would happen. Los Angeles in America is 34 degrees north. Mm-hmm. So, and obviously Californian climate and the South Australian climate are almost identical.
Right.
They don't have very cold winters, and they have very hot summers with temperatures at 40 degrees Celsius, etc. So I am very interested to see, at some stage I'll go back to LA and see if it is effectively the same, which I assume it might be, but it may be slightly different because of how we're tilted on the axis. But if that's the case, it would be interesting to find out if it's 34 degrees south, what do I have to be north and consider the axis shift to find the opposite of where I am. So anyway. Interesting.
We had recently the problem. The reason why Paul and I discussed that small wheel is because we were asked by a guy who lives half of the year in India, where he's coming from, and half of the year in the US. But so he wanted to be able to change that, which isn't possible. And then we found out that where he lives in India, it is possible to make a part for him as well, but, and this has nothing to do with the watch itself or the construction, it's just with the physics of the earth. Where he lives, the winter and summer difference is 1 hour. Not like in Frankfurt where it's 8 hours. So it hardly makes any sense for him a day night, because the difference between summer and winter is nearly not visible, both in the real world and on the watch.
See, mine is 4 hours. Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, excuse me. I think
actually there are
There
are 9 different positions. Oxen Junior designed 9 different positions for the pin. And this part is custom made for each customer, of course.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy. Crazy. And I guess the fans as well, I suppose we could count on the cogs how many times they move up and down depending on the seasons. I assume it's
10
probably
times per
10.
Day. Every 10 days. Not
every 10,
every 10 days.
Yeah.
And okay, and the Oxlin designed the mechanism to be to move the fans on the 8th, 18th, and 28th of each month.
Each month, okay.
And that's because the equinox the equinoxes are between the 19th and the 24th of each month. So the 10 days cover the whole difference the equinoxes could have.
Okay.
Crazy. Absolutely bloody crazy.
It's always good to have Paul on the call when we talk about these things. I never heard that before.
Actually, one of the
Just have a look on the Oxen Junior page.
Really? That's why I have the 10 days, but not the 8th and the...
No, you just have to look on the they put the parts, they show all the parts.
Yeah,
and if you look close enough to the parts, you know where the shifting is. That's how I get to know it.
Okay.
Wow.
Ah, now I see, of course. Yeah, you just go to the Oxygen Junior site. I have to zoom a little bit in, but then you see on the 8th and 20th, of course, yeah, easy.
I will I'll try and put that page, the fax page, into the show notes. I think.
Right.
Yeah.
But for anyone that wants to have a look, go to Oxygen Junior website, look up the day night, and then just go to the fax and you can read, and they show you all the 13 parts, and there's some videos there that you can see the sun and the moon moving together. And the only thing we didn't talk about before was how to tell the moon phase, because it's, again, it's one of those things that I've been looking at it for, you know, whatever it is, nearly 2 months now, and already no problem understanding it. When the sun is directly opposite to the moon, that is when we have a full moon. And then when it's on its quarters, we have the half moon crescents. And then when the moon is behind the sun directly, that is when you have your new moon, and that'll be the smallest moon that you can see in the sky for that period of phase. But I've absolutely really loved watching the moon rotate slower than the sun. Yes, slower than the sun. So the sun is moving faster and the moon is just, you know, sometimes they're so close, other times they're completely opposite. It's a fascinating thing to walk outside and line it up and just go, wow, that's pretty cool. Klaus.
That's true. And it's quite interesting that this mechanism with the sun and the moon is quite an old one from the beginning of Oxygen Junior. This was first implemented in the Luna Sole, the watch I'm looking for. The other one the Mesa Luna. But the Luna Sole, the Oxygen Junior, the watch Oxlin likes most of his creations, is the same mechanism as the for the moon and the sun, the day and night has.
I always wondered what the ring was. I kind of thought it was the sun, but how? So obviously the ring, it would be opposite. So on your picture you've got from 41 weeks ago, because I'm looking at it, new moon.
Don't forget to put it into the show notes.
I will. Yeah. I will. Don't worry. Cool. All right. I think is there anything else anyone wants to say about the day night? Go, Klaus.
Yeah. Just because we talked about the moon, it took me a year to find out that I start the other way around. I always wondered before I had the day night that sometimes you see the moon on the day night, day sky, and sometimes you don't.
You don't.
And you can see that easily if you have the watch on, that if it's I always mix the names, if it's a waxing moon, you see it in the evening and the opposite in the morning.
Yeah.
And if you have a day-night in front of you, you can easily understand, I can see the moon because it's above the horizon, or I can't see the moon because it's already far back behind the Earth.
Yeah, it's probably immediately. Where I am.
And exactly.
It's actually been really interesting watching Klaus, watching your posts, and Rick Reminker from San Francisco. He's got a beautiful day night as well that he bought pre-owned not long ago. And it's been interesting watching, because we're three continents there. We've got Europe, America, and Australia. And our moon phases generally are aligned. So even though we're on opposite parts of the world, obviously it's still the same moon. But, you know, it's just the way that you can learn about it, and the way that I've learned so much in the last 6-7 weeks since I've had this watch. It's been fascinating, really has. All right, anything else on the day night before we have a look at some of the other watches that have similar but probably not as good?
It depends on whether we want to go into the GMT World Timer function slash idea, or whether we do that later.
Let's talk about it now. That's fine. Go for it. Because I don't understand it. I think if I consider the one thing that I'm trying to figure out at the moment, and another guy on Instagram who got one recently, timepiece_fugit, if you want to check him out. Basically, the sun obviously rotates the dial in 24 hours. Every 24 hours, yeah, it makes a complete circle. And the GMT hand does exactly the same thing. So trying to figure out, and I know, Paul, we had this conversation probably long before I even ordered mine.
Right.
And you were saying that obviously the connection between the sun and the dial time means nothing. They're not aligned at all. So do you think it's possible to use that 24-hour sun as a GMT, or do you think it's too hard?
I do use the sun as a home time, and already did it, and used the hands for local time. So mine has been used.
When traveling, you mean?
Right, right.
So you traveled and you adjusted the sun you kept the sun in the Berlin position and changed the hands to where you were.
Correct.
Then and you can see whether it's day or night at home.
So you would still need to use the pusher, which would stop the sun to set the hand and then go back to where the sun would be. Then I guess you'd have to line up. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Interesting. I always thought about this watch and thought, you know, would I ever take it? Is it a travel watch? And at the end of the day, regardless of the additional complications, it still says the time and tells you the date. So, you know, that's going to be just for completely go overseas or go wherever, completely forget the other complications, set the time to where you are, and you just ignore the fans and the sun and moon and just tell the time. So it could be done. Paul?
One thing I added to my watch is a UTC hand on the sun cogwheel. So I have to I align it is almost on the opposite side of the sun. So 12 o'clock is right now. It's 12 o'clock almost, so it's almost at 6 o'clock the UTC hand, and so you just tell me when we meet at UTC and I can look at my watch and I know at what time it is here in Germany. So that's one of my additions to this watch.
It is crazy that if people just get outside the box, there is so much cool stuff that you can do with these things. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. The other thing is the sun rotates every 24 hours, so you can use it as a caller GMT watch. And again, the idea I got from Paul, if you would project a globe onto the dial, but not the usual as you normally do it, but from the looking at the North Pole, then you could see when the sun is above, for example, above the east coast of the US, you know, okay, it's around 12 o'clock there. So quite some people obviously thought at least about it. I'm not sure whether one exists of putting a map on that, because that's obviously quite expensive. You have to paint it. Yeah. The one thing I said earlier on, the one modification I could think about my watch when it goes to service is I would think about putting symbols onto the dial, like New York City at 3 o'clock, San Francisco at 4:30, Sydney at 7:30, and Mumbai at 9:45. So I would have, including Frankfurt, I would have 5 reference points across the globe, and I could roughly see whether it's morning, evening, or night. You can't exactly say, oh, it's 10 o'clock exactly, summertime, all that. You don't see that, but you can roughly see are people awake or not. Is it morning or is it evening? You can see that fairly easy if you would have these five, including Frankfurt, at the 12 markers on it. And and I would imagine not a big map or something. I would imagine just an N for New York, M for Mumbai, S for Sydney. That, and it would be spread around the dial quite nicely. And that would help to see, as a caller GMT watch, what the time is, for example, when we make a podcast or something. And when I thought about that and when I painted it onto the paper dial, I realized one thing. That dialer GMT function is easier if you live on the Southern Hemisphere, because the sun on the map you are used to, if I look on the map, Sydney is to the right and New York is to the left. And the sun goes from right to left, like in your watch. In my watch, it's the opposite. So it was, I did a couple of mistakes until I did put the markers on the right side on my sketch, the markers for the different towns.
Paul.
There's another thing that is why it's better for to have a projection of the southern hemisphere, and that is that the northern hemisphere with Europe and Asia is so crowded. If you project that on a circle, that you can't really read it. But it does work on the southern southern hemisphere as long as you're not sailing, but you're on land. That works quite good.
Unbelievable. I'm sure we've probably only got one listener left who's listening at the moment. Maybe it's Roman. I don't know. Maybe Tom. I'm not sure. Jake, you better be listening because you told me to do this. And Vaughn, I hope you're listening too still. Let's
I'm
have
guilty
a look
of being nerdy. Yeah, sorry, I stopped now.
Look, this is exactly what I wanted to do. And people will listen to it if it interests them. At the end of the day, for me, we've just had a 52-minute conversation about a watch that looks so simple but can do so many things. And to me, that's what excites me about this type of horology, simple but functional. And, anyway. So we wanted to just touch on a few of the other watches that have similar complications or that can tell you sunrise and sunset. Oh, sorry. Paul, go.
Yeah, I got it. I didn't know it was so late already, but I just wanted to tell you about some modifications that are possible just by setting indices and marks on this watch and by using what is inside this watch, which is I was looking at the parts, as I already told you, and was able to design a month display. Just not by modifying any part, but by just setting marks. The wheel for this is it's a year wheel, and my dial has six holes, and underneath is the year wheel, which rotates, and you can tell the exact month. And
from the fan.
The fan corresponds with the year wheel. And as the fans move up and down, you can tell the month. And I actually put another hole in it and to indicate the length of the month. So each month with less than 31 days has a red mark. And on the other months, which are 31, usual 31 days, it's just silver. Like,
I mean, clearly
the year wheel is the one with a little pin on we talked about before, which defines where you live horizontally on Earth. Yeah,
right. And the good thing about it is that the pin points to the movement. So it was possible to put my indicators on the other side of this wheel.
Right. So can you have holes in the dial to...
Right. To show it. And I have a suggestion why Ludwig Oechslin didn't came to that conclusion, because he might have thought that, okay, it's 12 months and each month the wheel moves three times each month. So it's 36 mm-hmm. movements per year. And this would make the holes too small to identify mm-hmm. the month. So yeah. I choose to have only six holes in the dial, and the month like February, whatever, April, June, mm-hmm. Showing two red dots, and the uneven month just one dot. And you know from the position of the dot which month it is. That's possible. That's what I did. When I looked at the parts, I thought, okay, when the fans are moving up and down, they could indicate something as well, more than the sunrise and sundown. So I decided to put a radial column graphic on the small inner dial, and to show the equation of time, approximately plus minus 15 minutes. And wow. I can tell, the light isn't that good, but I can tell you it should be like the real moon should be in, it's 12:20 maybe, I don't know, something, just by looking at the watch throughout the year. The first part of the year from 21st of December to 21st of June is printed on the right side at 3 o'clock. And mm-hmm. the second part of the year, half of the year, is at 9 o'clock. So, and by looking at the month indicator on my watch, I just have to look at the which month is indicated, and I know, okay, which side actually shows the current displays the current equation of time. And then I thought, okay, let's implement let's implement the what is it? Rausschneiden einen Moment bitte. So, wie heißt das nochmal? Das Englische für den Winkel, den the angle of the equator when it moves, the declination of the sun.
No, I got it.
The other thing that is also shown in the same way is the declination of the sun. So the angle of the equator towards the sun, and I did a dot graph over the equation of time column graph to read it at the same time. And that works quite well. I'm not sure if I ever going to use it, but I mean, it's there and it does work.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And there's just so much that you can do.
Yeah, and the last thing one other thing that I really like, because it is really a first off. It has never been done in a wristwatch. And the Uhrwerk Space Time is the watch that gets closest to this to my watch, is that I can tell you by just looking at the dial how many kilometers a point on the equator moved since the start of the astronomical day. And it's like the equator is 40,000 kilometers, and the precision I have reached is 500 kilometers. And well, it was really a fun ride for me to invent or to think about these parts and invent some solutions for this watch.
God, it's just crazy. Just crazy. All right, I think we probably don't have any listeners left now, and that is okay. but let's just chat about some.
Yes,
of the
because they're all googling like expressions like equation of time. What is that exactly, etc.
Exactly.
Or maybe they are on the Oxen Junior webpage ordering their watches.
On the customizer. So yes. I think that the probably the one that. And there's big differences between these watches, by all means. One of them being price, but probably the Anywhere and is it Everywhere? Is that the other one? Mm-hmm. Anytime.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Anywhere and Everywhere.
Anywhere and Everywhere from Crayon. And if you have a look at the Anywhere, it's so it does have a sunrise and sunset complication that has a mechanism that you can move depending on where you are geographically located. So yes, that is very cool to be able to do that globally. You'll never need to send it back to have it changed to your location. But at the same time, it's got hours and minutes, sunrise, sunset, 24-hour display, simple calendar, and the month. So it is missing a number of complications, and this thing has 432 parts. It's made out of white gold and costs 600,000 Swiss francs. You know, so the movement is exceptional. It's absolutely beautiful. Of course, it's complete high horology, but when you're paying a significant amount of money more, it's just cool to see what Oxen Junior can produce. And it puts the value into perspective, I think. I really like this watch. What about you guys?
Right.
I like
the crayon,
too.
You mean?
It's a
crayon? The crayon, yeah.
It's a great watch, but actually I'm fine with my Oxen Junior. The problem I have with other watches, high horology watches, is that, these are not daily beaters. But the Oxen Junior are. They are water resistant and everything. A scratch, well, there are scratches everywhere. So I don't even care about a scratch. And that's the thing I really, really like about it. And
Definitely.
I also love the crayon and even the cheaper version, the 100K version. If I would win the lottery, I would buy a Grove Force or would buy a Lange chronograph or something. I would not buy a crayon because it's a great watch. I love it, but I would never love it as much as I love the day-night, which I already have. So I would spend my lottery money somewhere else, definitely.
No, it's fair enough. Fair enough. And so the another one that I thought of was... Now, I'm going to butcher this. So, Benoit, if you're listening, I'm very sorry for my French. It's horrible. But the Vacheron Constantin Le Cabinetoires Celestia Astronomical Grand Complication. And this thing has, this is a grand complication from VC, which is, you know, it's going to be extremely expensive. It's a grand complication. So, it has even more complications into it. Have you seen this one? I mean, it's quite thick too, but this is a really, really complicated watch, and again, not a daily wearer for sure. Do you know the one, Paul?
Yeah, I've seen it. Of course,
the little dials for sunrise and sunset that move between 5 and 8 a.m. and then 1700 to 8 o'clock at night. What else is there out there that can give you sunrise and sunset?
The Martin Brown EOS.
I
mean, it's not in production anymore, but it's to me, it's a great deal, especially as those go for, I don't know, 10,000 euros or even under 10,000 euros right now. And they some years ago, they were a lot cheaper.
Yeah, definitely. And there's the Ulysse Nardin Moonstruck, which is got a world time complication as well. And obviously that was invented by the same person that started Oxen Jr. himself, so Ludwig Oschlin. He's obviously had a lot to do with Ulysse Nardin and was involved in the freak at the start. What else is there? There is a quartz watch.
There's one thing.
Yeah.
Yes
watch. It's called
the quartz watch.
It's a quartz watch that does tell you the sunrise and sunset. So I mean, they're quite inexpensive. I think they're
Yeah.
You know how much?
Like, Klaus? But
500 euros or something.
Yeah. I think. So, and it can be programmed to up to 650 cities worldwide. 100 meters water resistance, grade 2 titanium.
I don't know. Probably, I can't remember because I didn't dive into that watch at all.
You didn't.
The one I'm looking at the moment is the Vincentera Tycho Brahe or something. it's called after an from the Netherlands, an astronomical guy from the Netherlands from the Middle Ages. So I don't know how to pronounce it. And this watch is actually fairly cheap. It's under 5K net. And it has a Goebel Forsay style little earth, which moves every, like 3D earth, which moves every 24 hours. So fairly simple. And when you look at it, you can also roughly see where the sun is on the globe. So you could use it for your own rough sunset, sunrise and sunset, or you can use it very roughly as are people awake in Australia? Yeah. Yes or no? Very roughly, but I really like that watch. Mm. I'm currently in the process of getting one into my hands physically so that I see how it really looks. Mm. Yeah, maybe.
Why not? I'm sure.
Nicely executed from the looks of it.
Yeah, looks good. It looks good. Paul?
Another one with the same principle is from Ketelaars. It's a watchmaker from Stefan Ketelaars. It's a watchmaker from the Netherlands. And he did this little globe thing as well. And
Right.
That's nice. It's cool. A really nice mechanism and a hand-painted globe. Why not?
Yeah.
And I think it's around 5K as well.
Yeah, I think...
Okay. You have to put it into the show notes, or you send it to Anthony to put it into the show notes later, because I have to look it up after our conversation.
Sorry, I keep coughing. I think we can probably start to wrap up now, and hopefully you guys have got a Instagram recommendation, so maybe I'll go first, and mine is time.texas. He's been part of the Fifth Risk crew, which I've really enjoyed having some chats with him, and he's a really great photographer, but I think he also lets other people take photos of his watches, which is cool. I hear he's maybe coming to visit down under, but unfortunately I won't be able to meet him, but we share some very similar likes when it comes to watches. He has a beautiful Satori Billard, and he's got the Moser that I used to have, as well as he's got the Oxen Jr., the Fifth Wrist Edition, which is really, really cool.
Exactly.
Anne O'Dane.
And his photos. Holt and his Rist. Photos are brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So check him out, time.texas. He's a really, really cool dude and supporter of small independent watchmakers and micro brands. So go and check him out. What about you, Klaus? What's yours?
We're talking about Oxen Jr. all the time, and we are all dyed in the wool Oxen Jr. fans, but I have a competitor as a Instagram recommendation, a small company in Italy called Marc Darno, MARCDARNO underscore official. And the watches are looking, have a very kind of rough Breguet early years style of looks. And he's doing a moon phase with a very, very high accuracy, funny stuff like how you call that? Where's my translator? He displays the zodiac signs and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm not following him. Oh, he followed me though. Follow back. these are really nice.
Absolutely, and I think there is a podcast to be made fairly soon with him.
Very good.
There used to be two guys. It's just one now, as far as I understand. Mm-hmm. So either Mark or Dano, one of the guys left, as far as I understand. But the watches are really cool.
Awesome. That's a great one. I'm glad I'm following him now. And Paul, what about you?
Well, living in Berlin, I might suggest probably the only young watchmaker who is working on his own movements in my city, and that's Philippe Picoulet.
Picoulet. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've met him, I've visited him, and maybe Klaus will meet him this year.
If my wife allows, I would like to go and visit him with you and make a story for the website about him, like I did for Kieser Design, like I did for Learn des Bleu, which is about to be released on the website soon, and maybe I make an article about him as well.
How do you spell?
It's just a matter of whether I find the time when I'm in Berlin.
Ah, there we go.
That's good.
So it's Philippe underscore Pikulik. So
he makes a 3D moon, for example, mm-hmm. on his moon phase watch.
Yes. I think I saw Swiss Watch Gang talking about him a fair bit recently.
Yep.
Yeah, he was really happy
you
with
did.
The one that. Oh, yeah. This. He makes beautiful watches. Very good. Very good. Cool. Well, thank you. I think we're pretty much at the end. This is exactly what I wanted to do. And if this podcast was not more than three people sharing a passion for the same watch but done very differently, but also it's kind of about having some sort of documentation about this particular watch. So now in the future, when someone wants to Google it, they're going to be able to listen to this and learn a little bit about it and understand it. So I think that's a great way, even though this is a really deep dive and niche topic, I'm sure there'll be someone in a year's time that Googles a day night, and hopefully this podcast will pop up and they'll really enjoy listening to it. Yeah. So for me, it was about documenting it, talking about why I wanted to buy the watch and what it meant to me, but also to hear about some of the crazy stuff that Paul's got going on in his watch and Klaus as well. So any final words from either of you guys?
Not really. The only thing is, maybe as a final word, I could mention the only negative part of the watch is I just realized last Saturday we went into the opera on a Saturday into the opera, and you normally would put a dress watch on it with applied white gold indices and whatever. No, if I go to the opera for that handle thing I really like, I would put on my day night. If I'm not really sure what put on tonight, the day night, I wear my day night 60-70% of the time, which is a problem for all my other watches. And Yes, it's a little bit. I'm telling this is a little bit as a joke, but it's really a matter of fact. For me, it's absolutely clear. If I could only have one watch, I wouldn't think about it a minute. Yeah. Which watch it would be.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the best part of when you spend. You know, for me, I've been into watches since a very young age, but sort of got my first tag back in 2012, so sort of 11 years ago. For me, to narrow it down to what I actually want in a watch, and even things that I didn't even know that I wanted, I've been able to get. And it's a really good feeling to know that you had to wait, you had to earn this watch, and now you get to enjoy it. And I think that's
right.
That's something that is really special about this particular watch in general. And some people might have remembered, probably not, but I remember talking to previous podcasts, and when I was on with T-San and Tom, we had to do what watch would you be wearing and what car would you be driving? And I said I'd be wearing an Oxen Junior Day Night and driving a Audi RS4. So I've got 50% done. I've now just got to save up money to buy the Audi RS4, but not for a few years. But anyway, all right, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. I really hope the listeners enjoyed this. It was a deep dive, but give us feedback if you don't particularly like a deep dive and just an hour and 20 minutes talking about basically one complication. Let us know. But if you do like it and you want to see more of this stuff, let us know, because we don't know what we don't know. So give us the feedback and we'll take it on board. Anyway, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Klaus. It was an absolute pleasure. And for everyone else, stay on time.
Fifth Wrist is by the community, for the community. We would love you to join the crew via our group chat on Slack. Email us at contact@fifthwrist.com and join the movement.